Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Uncensored Podcast. And today I'm here with...
Kyle Biebelhauser. And Adam Eaton.
And today we're going to be recapping this college football season up to this point, ahead of the first college football playoff rankings that come out on Tuesday. So, fellas, we'll start with you, Kyle. What have been your overall thoughts of the season so far, and biggest surprises, or just how have you felt about it so far?
Yeah, I think it's been kind of like a weird season, because coming in, I thought Texas and teams like that, I thought Texas would be like the best team. And like all the top dogs have kind of folded, like Texas. Just a bunch of big teams going down early like that. So I was kind of surprised with that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all I got.
I feel like just from that original like preseason AP poll ranking, it's like it's almost completely different now. And that's one of the reasons why I don't really like the preseason ranking, or I'm just not a big fan of it, is that like it keeps teams up there, like Texas. Like, if Texas probably wouldn't be ranked right now if it wasn't for them starting out as preseason number one. Like, they wouldn't have dropped. Like, but had, like, you do a ranking system based off of, like, let's say the first 2 weeks of the season, they would have started out probably, like, either top, like, bottom of the top 10 or, like, in the 12 area. Like, in my opinion, Adam, thoughts on the season so far? Any big surprises to you?
Well, I don't want to make this all about Kentucky football, but I'm surprised on I'm not surprised on how bad we are, but I got a futures bet on Ohio State, so I'm pretty stoked about that. Of course, y'all talked about Texas, and then like the teams that no one really expected, like Indiana. I mean, I guess we kind of expected them. Georgia Tech, Vandy, those type of teams. I think that's crazy, and if they can do it, I think Kentucky can do it. But, you know, I think it all starts with firing our head coach, but it's a story for a different time.
I mean, I feel there's a lot of teams like that. So you have a Cincinnati that's ranked pretty high, Missouri that's ranked pretty high. You have a Georgia Tech even, Vandy, like you said. Like, there's just even Virginia. It's like there's a lot of teams that, like, you wouldn't expect to be in that top 25 that are, like, there this late in the year, and I mean, it's really crazy just to think about. And then you brought up Ohio State, too. I mean, either them or Indiana have probably looked the best all the way up to this point, I would say. They probably have, like, maybe not the best overall resume, but I would say just based off eye test, they've played the best brand of football so far.
Yeah, I'd say another surprising thing has been, like, all the coaches being fired.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought Penn State, I thought they were going to be like a national championship contender. You know, they got their running backs back. They got, Drew Aller. I thought they were going to be pretty tough this year, and then they've looked terrible all year.
They were preseason number two, too, so Texas and Penn State.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever I was talking about teams that, like, fell off from the beginning, I kind of folded and forgot who dropped out, but Penn State's been a big one all year. They've been terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and I honestly, like, when I look at Penn State, I look at that first three-game schedule they had where they played just nobody but bums, and then they go right into that Oregon game, and it's like, there's no preparation for that at all. Like, you're going straight from FCS teams straight over to the number, like, whatever Oregon was ranked then, but it's like, That's a very good Oregon Ducks team that, like, you have not prepared for at all by playing these bum teams. Another team that dropped out after, like, one big win was Florida State, really. Like, they beat Bama week one, and then they've basically been on a free fall ever since that Virginia game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird how Bama got smacked around by Florida State, who hasn't been good all year, and then Bama goes and beats, like, five straight ranked teams or four or five straight ranked teams.
And then you got a team like Clemson, who a lot of people thought was going to be very good this year, and then, like, I don't know, just they lost that LSU game, then they lose the Tech game, and it just felt that, like, Dabo kind of, like, lost it a little bit, that, like, they weren't the Clemson of old. Like, I feel like they kind of made a run last year, and they were able to get to the ACC championship game and then get to the playoff, and then, like, they were, like, Cade Klubnik coming back was supposed to, like, really help them, like, get over the hump, and then again, they just nothing from Clemson.
Yeah, speaking about those teams, like, you mentioned, like, Heisman favorites, like, Florida and South Carolina were two other teams that were ranked pretty high to start with, Lagway and Sellers, and they were Heisman contenders, and everyone thought, you know, they'd be pretty decent. Both of them are awful, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you get some of these teams, like, they're basically, you give them a quarterback, and they have a lot of hype around their name, and then it's just, that's, like, what a preseason ranking will do. And, I mean, one team that's, like, that I believe still has a shot, even though, like, is Miami. I know they had that. I know Carson Beck played a really bad game against Louisville. But I still feel like when their problem is their valleys are way too low, but when they peak, if they can peak at the right time, I still feel like they have a very dangerous roster and can still definitely make a run. It's just, can Carson Beck not go down to that level where he throws four picks?
Yeah, that's the thing with, like, the 12-team playoff. Now you're going to have to win, like, three or four straight games. You're going to have to play good for three or four straight games, not just, you know, make the automatically to the semifinals and just have to win two. It's a lot different now.
Exactly. And so, like, that's something I want to talk to you about next. So right now we have the CFP poll, which is the one that matters, that takes a lot more into consideration. That comes out next week. Have you all looked? Have you all gotten a chance to look at the top 25 for this week?
Yeah.
So, based off of that, what are the teams that you think are locks to go to the college football playoff as it stands right now?
I'd take Ohio State, Indiana. Those are both locks. They don't really play. They don't play each other. They'll play each other in the Big Ten championship, but they don't play each other. And then Alabama, I think they're a lock. I mean, they've been playing the best brand of football, I think, out of any team right now. And then who's third?
I think Georgia's in there, Oregon. Oregon's probably in.
You got Texas A&M in there as well. They're undefeated still.
Yeah, A&M.
I keep forgetting about them.
Yeah.
Marcel Reed's a dog, man.
Then you got Oregon at six right now. If they have a tough game, they have at Iowa this week, so if they can – if they can handle their business this week, they should be fine. And then you got Ole Miss sitting at seven right now. They don't play. They don't leave the state of Mississippi, and they have three home games to end the season, and then the Egg Bowl game against Mississippi State. So if you can avoid what happened last year and just, I feel like if they can win out as well, that's they should be in there.
What about BYU? I see they're up there, too.
So,
yeah.
I feel, so how I look at it from eight to about, like, where Cincinnati is, right? I feel like it really depends on how the Big 12 plays out, because BYU and Texas Tech still play each other. And so, like, if BYU can clear out the rest of the Big 12, I feel like that'll, like, short a lot of, like, Big 12 teams that could get in, because if BYU beats Texas Tech, that's their second loss, and they probably won't go to a conference championship game. And are you going to put a two-loss Big 12 team in that doesn't go to their conference championship?
Yeah, I'm looking at BYU's schedule. They've played all of September was a bunch of trash teams. Then October they played Utah. They played Iowa State. And then all their, like, big games are coming up this month. Yeah. So
Texas Tech and Tennessee.
Yeah.
And TCU's 6-2. They play them next Saturday.
Yeah. So they still got to be able to run the table, and they have to end their season strong or else. And then, so what do you guys, so the reason why I like the college football playoff that's coming around the corner is you look at a team like Tennessee, right? Currently, their best win is probably over an
It might be the Cats. It might be Kentucky.
It genuinely might be.
I'm not even kidding.
Like, it's either Kentucky or Arkansas right now. And so, like,
yeah, they played Arkansas at home and then at Kentucky, and they blew us out. They only beat Arkansas by 3 points. So.
Yeah, and so, like, when I look at Tennessee, it's like, why are they ranked as highly as they are? Because at the end of the day, they're still a two-loss team, and they don't have any good wins.
Yeah, I don't think Tennessee's all that, man.
Yeah, their defense is burnt toast out there. Cutter Bowley, 5 touchdowns. I don't think that happens.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen against any other team, so.
Yeah, I feel that 1,000%. It's like, now, they have Oklahoma this week, so that'll be a test for sure, because Oklahoma's defense, I know Ole Miss kind of lit them up last week, but I still feel like that defense is pretty solid, especially because can Tennessee's offense still, like, so we'll see. But, again, I feel like that game's going to come down to Oklahoma's offense because they've looked very stagnant at times this season. Like, against an Ole Miss defense, like, last week that gave up 43 to Georgia the week prior, and, like, it just seemed like they really struggled at times in that game.
Yeah,
I know John Mateer, he was like a Heisman favorite, and then he got injured. I haven't really watched their games the past few weeks, but how has he looked since he got back?
Texas, he did not look good at all, really. And then I think they played South Carolina after that, and then I think their defense pitched a shutout that game, so he didn't really have to, like, do much. And then,
yeah.
I mean, outside of, like, a couple, I remember in the third quarter they broke a big run against Ole Miss for a touchdown, and then they had, like, another one-play drive for a touchdown. But it was, like, other than those things happening, like, they really never had, like, any methodical drives down the field or anything like that. It was kind of just, like, they would hit on a big play or two, and that was basically it.
Yeah.
And then, what are your all's thoughts on Georgia Tech this year? Probably the biggest surprise up to this point.
Yeah, I love Haynes King, but, I mean, taking a look at the schedule, I mean, I don't really see a team that they beat that is very, you know, beat Colorado week one. You know, they beat Clemson. We thought that was a big win, but that's not a big win. And then they beat Wake by one in overtime, beat Duke, Syracuse, like, they got Georgia as their last game of the year. I guess we'll really see how good they are. But
yeah, so I think if they win the next three games, which they probably will, and then lose to Georgia, which I think will happen, so they'll be, what, 11-1?
Yeah.
I think the ACC championship is probably going to decide if they get in or not.
Yeah. And, like, the thing that I look about with Georgia Tech, I kind of look at it with Oregon as well right now, because if you look at Oregon, no ranked wins. They lost at home by 2 possessions to Indiana. But it's like that Penn State win, it's like how much do you weigh that right now with the fact that they're not good right now. They fired their head coach, their quarterback's out for the year. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then last week, they struggled against Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's the worst of the worst, man.
Yeah, Wisconsin's not very good either.
So, I don't know. I mean,
and then their OC's coming to Kentucky next year, so.
Is that what's projected?
Will Stein.
You know Will Stein, Trinity QB?
I've heard his name. I've seen his name on Twitter a couple times.
Yeah, hopefully that's what we get next year.
Played QB at Trinity in Louisville.
He did? He played quarterback at Trinity?
Mm-hmm. So that'd be an interesting hire, but,
hey, a quarterback at Trinity worked out for another team up the street as a head coach, so maybe it can work for the other team as well.
You think there's any chance Brohm leaves this year?
So that's actually a very good question, and here's something I was thinking about, right? If you look at these teams like Florida and LSU, as you all know this for sure, Brohm has a game every year, that hangover game that he loses. The first year it was a Pitt. Last year it would have been that Stanford game. I feel like those types of games wouldn't slide in the SEC. Because you have to get off to a hot start and you have to win games in the SEC. And it's like, as great as Brohm is, I just don't think he's cut out for that type of thing. Because if you look at this year, it's like, okay, first year he goes to ACC championship game.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Would that 8-4 type of season slide last year? Would that slide in LSU or Florida? Probably not. So it's like, I'm not ruling anything out for certain because, again, I don't know what Brohm's motives are or like what he wants to do really. But I just feel that in the SEC, how you have to just, everything is based off of winning. There's no, potential base in the SEC. It's like you got to be able to win off-rip. So I just don't know if that's exactly, what he's cut out for.
I got a question, Carter. So out of Louisville's remaining schedule, you talked about trap games. Would you consider Kentucky a trap game?
So here's how I've always viewed the Kentucky game. It's like, no matter how bad you all are or how good we are, you look at the 2016 Lamar year, you look at the year we went to the ACC championship game, that's just a testament to how college football works, and that's who's going to show up that day. Who's going to show up each and every game? Because, again, we were big favorites in 16, and we lost. We were favored to win in 23. We lost that game. So it's like, as bad as Kentucky is, it's a game I never like to bet on or ever like to rule out just because of the fact that in rivalry games, you can have almost anything happen. But, so that's the thing. It's like, I know y'all aren't having the season you want to this year, but that's a game I feel like that saves Stoops a couple times every year, is that he always is able to get that ranked Louisville win every year. It kind of helps to save himself.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he can save himself anymore, though, if I'm being honest, dude.
I feel like all those wins, like Stoops pulled an upset over Louisville, like we were still fighting for a bowl at that
exactly.
point. Like right now, we don't even know if Stoops is going to be there for the Louisville game. Yeah. And like you saw last year, like the whole team, you could tell nobody was motivated at all. Like we had that one guy going to the concession stand mid-game.
Yeah. I feel like the Stoops
tenure, it really comes down to these next two games. I mean, if we go into Auburn and lose by 30 again, and if we lose to Florida, I don't see any way you could keep them, if I'm being honest. No one would show up to any of these games. I mean, if we lose to Auburn, no one's going to be at that Florida game. And then we play Tennessee Tech, who's 8-0 in the FCS.
Yeah,
it's really bad, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Stoops is that just, like, at Kentucky, like, obviously basketball is the number one priority. But then again, with football, if you can just win 7 games, get to a bowl game, you can make people happy enough to get, like, to give them a shot, like, to just, to get to next season. It's like, you're not going to get those Will Levis years where you're, like, actually really good every single year, right? But it's like, if you can just win enough games in the SEC, like, especially against, like, the lower portion, like...
Yeah, as a Kentucky fan, you just want to watch, you just want to have something that, like, you can look forward to every weekend. Like, right now, you don't hear anyone talking about football around campus. Like, it's just kind of depressing, like, how bad we are right now.
The only topic that Kentucky fans are worried about is, when is Stoops going to be fired? What week is he gone? Like, that's the only thing we care about right now about our football team, which is kind of sad, but it's the reality.
Yeah, I mean, and it kind of sucks, because it's like, as much as I, like, want Kentucky to, like, lose a game or whatever, it's like, seeing you all, like, be competitive at times, like, it just, it makes everything better, because, like, it makes just the rivalry that much better when it's, like, you all are good, and, like, then we're good. Like, it just, it makes everything better than first, like, when one team's trash. Like, in the Kenny Payne years in basketball, it's like, when we're trash, it's like, oh, yeah, we're playing Kentucky. It's like, whatever. We're, like, we know we're going to lose. It's like, when, like, you know there's, like, some uncertainty, it makes it that much more fun.
Yeah.
So, another team that I just don't know about for sure, and that's Notre Dame. Because they dropped their first two to start the season to now number 9 Miami and number 4 A&M. And they have one other ranked win, and that's USC. Are they deserving of a playoff berth?
I mean, I think they got a lot of work to do. I mean, their only win is USC, pretty much. And then they dropped those two early on in the year. Who was it? Was it Miami and
A&M?
Just A&M, yeah. Let's see who they got. They got
Boston College, Navy, at Pitt, Syracuse, and Stanford. I would say their toughest remaining game is Pitt, who sits at 6-2 right now.
Yeah, they don't got much left. There's not one game on there that could convince me that they're, you know, legit, but
yeah, if you're gonna be like a 2 or 3 loss team, I think you gotta have some better wins than that. I mean,
yeah,
USC by itself probably isn't gonna cut it.
Yeah, and it's like USC, it's like, who do they have? They have stuff like Oregon, so like there's a very strong possibility they drop out of the rankings and not leave Notre Dame without a ranked win.
Yeah, it's, ain't gonna cut it with no conference championship and no good wins as a 2-loss team. I don't think that cuts it for the playoffs.
Yeah. And then you look at Vanderbilt, right? They got at Texas, versus Auburn, versus Kentucky, at Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Let's say Tennessee and Vandy both went out up to that point, right? You could be looking at a play-in game for the playoff almost between those two teams in a rivalry game.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, Diego Pavia is playing some very good football right now.
Love me some Diego Pavia.
Yeah. Who do you guys think wins this weekend, Texas or Vandy?
So, I believe Arch Manning is on the injury report because he got hurt at the end of the game against Mississippi State last week. But then again, it's like, can that Texas defense show up and like just... Is right now, Texas is favored to win that game. They're -1.5 favorite. But, and the thing with college football, though, is you really don't know, like, the injury report till, like, an hour before the game.
Yeah,
knowing Texas, they probably got, like, a 5-star QB on their bench who might even end up being better than Arch, so I don't know. Arch has looked pretty bad recently.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if it was just the pressure they got to him this year or what it was, but, like, he just didn't, he never really looked the part to me. He never, like, I get it, it was lofty expectations, but, like, again, he never really lived up to any of it, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, even Kentucky was shutting him down.
Yeah, if that defense can shut you down, you're just not legit. Just gonna be honest here. The Kentucky defense is something else.
So, I want to talk about the Heisman race real quick. Mm-hmm. On DraftKings right now, you have, these are the top. So, you have Fernando Mendoza from Indiana at +260. You have Ty Simpson from Bama at +360. Julian Sain, +380. Marcel Reed at +600, and Diego Pavia at +850. Who do you all see taking home the Heisman this year?
After this conversation, I'm making a futures bet, so this better be a good pick here, boys.
I'd probably say, I mean, it's the favorite, but I'd probably say Mendoza. He's been going off.
If I had to pick, I don't think Diego Pavia deserves to be in the race. Even though they're winning, he puts up 100 yards and, like, acts like he wins the Heisman. I don't think he should be considered. I like Ty Simpson a lot. I think that's, out of those top, like, three names, Mendoza, Simpson, and Sain, I think I'd take Ty Simpson, but that's just me. I think he's playing the best of all of them.
So how I look at this, because they'll end up playing each other at the end of the year between Sain and Mendoza, I feel like that's definitely going to not, like, that will be a big odd switch up depending on how they play as well. Because let's say, like, either Mendoza goes in and plays very well, or Sain goes in and he plays really well against Indiana. It's like, that's a game right there that could completely flip this race completely, really.
It's the same thing with Ty Simpson, Marcel Reed, and Pavia. If whoever plays in the SEC championship, too.
Yeah.
I could flip it, too, with that. But...
so, there's been a stat that for as long as I can, like, I saw it on Instagram, on ESPN, basically, like, every fifth year, so, like, that would be, like, 2015, 2005, I think it was, and then however far you want to go back, it's been a running back that's won the Heisman. Currently, the only running back that, like, is up there is Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame at +2,000. Do we see that streak continue, or do we see that end this year?
I'm gonna say that ends here.
Yeah, I think it ends. Also, Love's been splitting carries with Price, right? Like, he's not gonna get that many touches enough to probably win a Heisman, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And then, like, so then it's like, then I go and you look at the playoff odds, right? Basically, from what we've said, so A&M's off the board completely. Ohio State's off the board. Indiana's off the board. So basically, how it goes from here is you have Bama at -900, Notre Dame -330, Georgia -310, Ole Miss -300, Oregon -280. Miami at -250, and then you have Texas Tech at -170, Georgia Tech at -120, Vandy at +125, Louisville at +240, and BYU at +260.
This is to make the playoffs?
This is to make the playoff. Out of those odds I just said, what do you all think is the best bet to make the playoff? Or which team do you see from that list dropping out?
Yeah, if I'm betting this, I don't look at anybody above -250, so I take out Bama, Notre Dame, Georgia, Ole Miss, Oregon, and Miami. I wouldn't bet any of them. I'd just look from Texas Tech to probably about Cincy, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those teams, I think BYU's a little enticing to take a shot on. I mean, they're undefeated. They'll play Texas Tech. If they can beat them, they'll be in, so... I think BYU is definitely a team I could take a shot on.
Yeah. And then One that kind of I like a little bit is this Georgia Tech at -120, because let's say they can win out, right? Let's say they win their next three. If their only loss is to Georgia, and then let's say they win the ACC championship, that's basically a lock to get. It is a lock to get in because they win the ACC championship. But I don't know. It's like, the way I look at it, if your only loss is to Georgia and then the ACC championship game, which last year we saw they didn't penalize SMU for having that second loss in the ACC championship game, they still put them in. I feel like Georgia Tech has everything in front of them if they win out.
Yeah,
I think it'll be a coin flip. Like, I know SMU didn't really get penalized last year, but there was a lot more, like, three lost teams at that time last year.
There were.
I think if they get smacked around by Georgia and then end up losing, it'll be probably 50-50 at that point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't think Georgia Tech's a bad bet either. I like them.
So,
Louisville plus 240.
We're up there.
Louisville's a little interesting there too.
Yeah,
I think we're very interesting because how I look at it, if you can win out, right, you're sitting at 11-1. Now you would need some help from either a Georgia Tech ACC loss or two Virginia losses, because it's kind of stupid, but basically, because once they brought in Cal and Stanford to the ACC to, like, preserve rivalries, they did this thing where it doesn't count as a
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Conference loss. So, even though they lost NC State, it's not a conference loss.
Yeah, that is pretty stupid.
So, basically, Virginia has been playing some very close games, honestly. So, they have at Cal, a Wake Forest team who's been playing pretty good. Then they have at Duke and Virginia Tech to end the year. So, again, if Louisville just wins out, I feel like they could put themselves in a pretty good scenario to possibly get in.
Yeah, I don't think this Virginia team's very good.
Yeah, that UNC game was pretty bad.
I could see them dropping one on the road, like a little trap game to Cal or Duke, maybe even both. But, I mean, I don't think Virginia's, like, I don't think they really move me, honestly.
Yeah, and then Georgia Tech, they have a sneaky game. They have NC State on the road this weekend in a night game. NC State's not an easy place to go in and win a game. So they'll have to be ready for that one for sure.
Yeah, and then that Georgia game obviously at the end, but I guess that's not an ACC game.
Yeah, that's not a conference game, so that really wouldn't make a difference. And then, so this week it's an all right slate of games. What's your all's like game of the week? Which game are you all like, I can't wait to watch this game?
Let's see.
I'd probably say Vandy in Texas.
I mean, that's what I was going to say, too, because whoever wins that game is going to have a chance to at least make some noise and make the playoffs. I think if Texas goes down, they're obviously done. Like, they're out. They still have to play. They got A&M and maybe Georgia, I think. I know they play two more, like, big games after that. I don't see. Yeah, they got A&M and then Georgia. So if they lose to Vandy, they're pretty much done unless they beat both of those teams. So
yeah.
That'd be some turnaround if they beat Vandy, Georgia, and then they went out and beat A&M too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see that happening, though.
I mean, honestly, the game I'm kind of looking, like, I don't know if they're going to pull it off, but I want to see how Florida and that team kind of, how they come together after the firing of Billy Napier against Georgia in a neutral site game. Because, like, that's a rivalry game that they play in Jacksonville every year. How is Florida going to, like, are they going to come together, and are they just going to leave it all out there after the Napier firing? Or, like, that's just something interesting that I see is that, like, because we know how Florida's defense is. Florida's defense has not been the problem all year. They've held basically every team in check. It just, can that offense show up against a Georgia defense that's looked kind of suspect this year?
Yeah. That's kind of what Florida did last year, too, when they lost a bunch of games in Napier. I mean, I guess he's gone now, but when his back was against the wall last year, they came together and they put together like four or five straight. I mean, I remember they played Kentucky and beat us by about 50, so I think that game's interesting.
And then I feel that there's also a couple good Big 12 games this weekend. You got Cincinnati, Utah, that's where game day is going. That's a big game for the Big 12 purposes. You got Kansas State and Texas Tech. So a couple good games from the Big 12. And then that
I'm seeing here Utah's a 9.5-point favorite against Cincinnati.
Wow, that's a huge number.
That's a lot of points there. That's something to take a look at.
Is someone from Cincinnati hurt or something?
I don't know. I mean,
not a Big 12 guy myself for football, especially.
I don't watch much Big 12, but I've watched them since then. They're not bad at all, but a 9.5, that's kind of, I don't know about that one.
That's a lot of points there.
And then what do you all think about this Oklahoma-Tennessee game? Battle of two loss SEC teams.
That's, like, complete opposites. I mean, Tennessee's offense is, like, insane, and their defense is pretty trash. And then Oklahoma's defense has been locks, but their offense has been, like, questionable recently.
Go ahead, man.
I was looking at the over-under for that game. It's, like, 54.5. I was gonna take the over because I think Tennessee is going to score, like, 35-plus. And I think their defense is bad enough to where Oklahoma can score a lot, too. So I was thinking the over for that.
That has taken a little bit of a bump up to 56.5 now.
Shit.
So, but I think that's kind of like, I feel like that's kind of like the same formula as that Ole Miss game versus Oklahoma last week. It's like, what's going to give? Is the great offense of, like, Tennessee, are they going to be able to hang with the defense of Oklahoma, or is, like, which one's going to give? Because one of those is going to have to give, and if that Oklahoma defense steps up, Tennessee could be in for some trouble if they can step up.
Yeah, I think a key point to that game is we saw last week, Tennessee, the receivers on the outside, that Brazell dude and Brent Staley or whatever, those two dudes are like 6'5", and they fly. So, if I mean, I don't know Oklahoma's secondary, but if you got, like, two guys that could guard them and take away, like, the deep shots that Tennessee has, I think Oklahoma could really win this game. I mean, that Tennessee offense, though, is just, they spread you out, and then they can just take deep shots with those two 6'5", 4'3", speed guys. It's, like, it's insane.
Yeah, and it's a night game at Neyland. That's always a very tough place to play.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good game to watch, too, this weekend.
Yeah. So I want to get your all's opinion. So what do you all think is – what are your all's best bets this weekend? If you had to put a good amount of money on something. What is your lock of the week? What bet do you think is really intriguing to you, or what bet do you all really like this week?
I'll take this one first. I would put my whole college fund on Auburn minus 10.5 this weekend.
Let me look at that game real quick.
That's Auburn versus Kentucky.
Auburn versus Kentucky at Auburn.
I would put a lot of money on Auburn minus 10.5 in that game. I think they're way more talented than the record shows. And obviously Kentucky's worse than the record shows, I'd say. So I'd take Auburn to win by 11 plus in that one.
Yeah, I look at that game and it's like, you know, Auburn's defense has been very good this year. Like, they held Georgia to 20 points. They held, like, they've basically, their defense hasn't really been the problem all year. Like, they held A&M to 16 points, Missouri to 23 points, Arkansas, who has a high power offense, to 24 points. Oklahoma only scored 24. Like, their defense is very good. It's just, so you all think, like, that Kentucky offense was just basically more of a result of that Tennessee defense being weaker?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yes.
Because we haven't seen that at all this year. Like, Cutter's maybe thrown, what, we didn't even have a passing touchdown to a receiver, like, our first four games. And we played Toledo, so I think it's definitely shown a lot about Tennessee's defense.
Yeah, I mean, we've played, two true road games, and we put up 14 and 13. Granted, one of them was against Georgia, but that defense isn't great. And we put up 13 on South Carolina on the road. How many do you think we're going to put up against Auburn on the road?
Yeah, that's it.
I think the maximum amount of points we score is 14. And if Auburn can just torch our defense, which isn't pretty, I mean, it's not tough to do, I think they'll win big on Saturday.
Yeah. So, Adam, you like Auburn to cover the spread. Kyle, what do you like this weekend?
I know we kind of already talked about this game, Georgia-Florida. I have Georgia minus 7 here. I mean, Billy Napier got fired, so they brought in a wide receivers coach who's coaching the team this week. I don't know how promising that'll be. And then Kirby Smart pretty much has owned Georgia like the past 10 years, so I got Georgia minus 7.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting game, but like seeing it that close at 7 is honestly kind of surprising. I feel like we would have seen more from Georgia's side just because they're coming off the win over Ole Miss. Their offense looked great. I guess they're basically like Vegas is loving that Florida defense and saying that, hey, maybe DJ Lagway shows up this week.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Kyle. I got Florida plus 7.5 there.
I don't know, man. I mean, Lagway's looked pretty shaky recently. He threw 2 picks last week, no touchdowns. And then Georgia, I mean, they're right there in the playoffs. They're not going to want to slip up here. And then Florida really has nothing to play for at this point, I guess, except just turning around, get some momentum, maybe make a crappy bowl game. But
I feel like that's when teams can be their most dangerous at times, is when they have nothing to play for. Like, what does Florida have to lose at this point? They're not going to the playoff.
And they want to take down Georgia. That's their rival. They want to kick them out of the playoffs. Because, I mean, if you beat Georgia, that moves them, out of the top 10, out of the top 12. And then Georgia's got to play Georgia Tech, too. So
exactly. And
I mean, if they lose this game, I think it's honestly wraps for Georgia.
It very well could be. And, like, that's why I look at it. It's like, that spread's very intriguing, the fact that it is as low as it is. You got the over-under set at 50. And I don't know, Georgia, it's like when they've played bad defenses, they score points. Like, look at the Tennessee game, look at the Ole Miss game, they can score, right? But then you look at that Auburn game, that Alabama game. They were held to 20 and 21 points, respectively. Florida's got one of the damn best defenses in the country, I would say. And so Georgia, I feel like they want to be able to run the football. That's how they want to, like, get things going. if I don't like them throwing the football really against this Florida defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That game's definitely interesting. That game's always fun to watch too. So.
Yeah, and for me, what I really like this week is I just don't see Utah winning by two possessions. Like, mm-hmm. I know that the game's at home. Game day is going to be there. I feel like Cincinnati, it's like they just got, like, they beat Baylor. They've already beat Iowa State this year. I feel like this is the game where it's like
they're going to game.
Like, I don't know. For me, I feel like 9.5 is just a lot of points, especially against a ranked Cincinnati team. However, like, because you look at their quarterback, 20 touchdowns, 1 interception, he's not going to turn the ball over. Like, I don't know what Vegas is seeing, really, but what do you all think?
It might be a big injury we're missing or something. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up real quick because seeing that big of a margin, honestly, is, I don't know. I feel like you wouldn't see that big of a margin, honestly, in a ranked matchup like that.
Yeah, that's.
Cincinnati Bearcats.
Also, another game I'm looking at, and this is just a random. I'm looking at Nebraska +6.5 at home against USC. I think Nebraska, they lost last week, or they lost to Minnesota on like a Friday night a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, this Nebraska team, I mean, Raiola, he's one of the most talented guys in college football, even though he's not producing this year as much as, you know, people expected. I don't think USC's all that either. I think Nebraska keeps that game close at home.
Yeah, I mean, you look at USC, and it's like, my thing with USC is, like, you look at this. Their losses are to, by 2 points at Illinois, and then by 10 to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think Nebraska's bad by any means, but they got held to 6 against Minnesota. If I know anything, Lincoln Riley really doesn't know about defense.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And so, how about this? Okay. Who do you all see hoisting the trophy at the end of the year? Who is your all's national championship pick?
I think it's kind of hard to tell because number one all year has been Ohio State, but they really haven't really played anyone. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking Bama just because they're so proven.
Yeah.
I mean, they slipped up against Florida State, but ever since then, they've been pretty locked in. I know last week they did struggle with South Carolina, but that South Carolina team's, their record doesn't show it, but they're still pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was on the road, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bama. I think Ty Simpson's been the lead this year.
I think my team, I mean, I said this at the beginning, but I got a futures bet in Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State's the most complete team in the country, and I don't think there's any denying it. I mean, you say they didn't play anybody. That Washington team is a solid team on the road. They handled business in that game. Went on the road to Illinois. That game wasn't close, even though it's 18-point difference. Illinois scored a touchdown at the end that made it close. I don't think anybody touches Ohio State, if I'm being honest with you. I think they go back-to-back.
Yeah. For me, how I look at this is if I looked directly in the top 10, I see Miami with question marks, BYU team with some question marks, a Vandy team who might not even be there, Georgia Tech, what's going to happen when they play a real team like Georgia, right? Ole Miss, we see the defensive struggles at times. Oregon, how are they going to look when, let's see how they look this weekend, right? But they have some question marks. But for me, I just look at Georgia and I say, okay, look at just how resilient they've been this year. They were down a lot against Tennessee. came back at Neyland Stadium, pulled out that game. They had Ole Miss. Ole Miss had them on the ropes at home. Shut them down in the fourth. They win that game. If Georgia can avoid playing Alabama this, because that's the one team that it seems they can't beat, is Alabama. And, like, as good as I think Ohio State is with Jeremiah Smith and with Cornell Tate and all those guys that they got, I just feel like Kirby, it, like, when it matters, Kirby gets it done. So I feel like if Georgia can avoid Bama, I think they can win the Natty.
Yeah, I also want to give a little shout-out to the team ranked second in the country, Indiana. I mean, they look complete, if not the most complete team. I think Ohio State's a little bit better, but we'll see soon. But, I mean, Indiana, there's games like – there hasn't been a close game. They haven't played a close game. That no. Oregon game, as much as you want to say it was close, I don't think
they
it was
killed
close.
Them. They, that was a –
I mean, I don't think Indiana's ran into, like, any trouble. But, I mean, at the same time, Illinois, a blowout win, that's a good win. And then going into Oregon and beating them, that's another good win. But
They thrashed Illinois, too.
I just want to see that Iowa, or Ohio State-Indiana game in the Big Ten Championship. I think that game's going to be game of the year.
That'll answer a lot of questions as well. And, like, that's the thing about college football is we're doing this right now. There is so much that could happen along the way, especially with all the games that have to be played and then rivalry week happening. Like, there's still so much that has to happen that, like, we're not even, like, accounting for.
I know.
You guys think Ohio State will lose to fucking Michigan again this year?
No. I don't think that. There's no way. I mean, we say that last year, but I really don't think there's any way they do it. Like, what is it now, 2 or 3 years in a row?
In all,
how many years in a row is it?
It's like 4 years in a row.
There's no way.
The way I look at it is, like, you look at how they've, like, how they've lost. When, if you stop the run, you will beat Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They've allowed points this year. Nebraska put up 30. Washington put up. No, Michigan State put up 20. They've allowed some points this year. I don't think this defense is as good as it's been in years past. But then again, you never know. Like, that seems to always be the game Michigan gets up for.
Yeah.
But then again, Kyle, it's like, is Ohio State going to let it happen again?
Not a chance. I don't know. It is at Michigan this year, too, so.
Is
not
it?
Not a chance.
Oh, it is at Michigan.
Yeah, because last year they planted the flag or whatever, that whole deal, and then Ohio State turned it around and won it all.
That's when Steelers legend Jack Sawyer didn't let that slide on midfield.
So, well, I want to give you all a scenario and tell me what you think, right? Currently, Michigan is 21 in the country, right? Let's say they were to win out and beat number one Ohio State, with their two losses being to a currently ranked USC and Oklahoma, could that get them into the playoff?
Would that put them in the Big Ten Championship? I don't think it would.
No, they have two. They have two losses,
but, no, but they're not conference though. So
yeah. They have one conference loss.
So yeah, I mean, if they beat Ohio State, they'll make the Big Ten Championship. Then if they win out, is that right?
Yes,
that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, if they did that and then they'd play Indiana in the Big Ten Championship, and if they could win that game, I mean, if they win out and beat Ohio State and then lose to Indiana, I think they're out. But if they win those, what, 3 or 4 games and then beat Ohio State and then beat Indiana, then...
So you're saying that they have to win the Big Ten Championship?
I'd say so, yeah. To get in. I mean, I think if Michigan beats Ohio State, I still think Ohio State makes it.
Oh, I think Ohio State, it's like... I think they're locked at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't see them being dropped to, like, 12 spots like that.
Yeah. They really haven't played anybody, dude.
I mean,
Washington.
I mean, Texas is still ranked, though. It's like, you gotta, like, you, as bad as they've been, they're still ranked, so.
Yeah. But Ohio State, I mean, they didn't look great in that game either, but I guess that was the first game of the year, so.
And then, hey, if Michigan's still ranked and they beat Michigan this year, that's another ranked win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Ohio State's gonna have any problem getting in.
Yeah.
I mean, even a loss to Michigan, that'll be their only loss, so it'll be like 11-1.
Yeah. I don't know, but the one thing I know for certain is that anything can happen. I think we got potential for a lot of chaos to happen as well.
There's a lot of ball to play.
Oh yeah.
You see chaos this weekend with Penn State coming to Ohio State or no?
I just don't see it happening just because it's at Ohio State. Like, I don't know. I just don't see it happening.
It's like a 21-point spread, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of points. It's a lot of points.
I don't know. I don't think Penn State's got much juice left. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I just don't see that. I would be shocked if that happened, honestly.
That would be funny, though.
All right, fellas.
Not too funny, because I need Ohio State to win it all, but...
It's been great talking ball with you all, and we have a great end of this college football season, and then let's see how our predictions end up working out, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us.
Another episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas.
Kyle Biebelhauser.
Adam Eaton.
Thank you all for listening.